Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 5th of January. I'm your host, Paul White. We are in Isaiah 53. We've been concentrating for the last several days. In fact, we opened the new year with a look at a text from 2 Corinthians, really just a text to sort of take us into this new year, a staring into the image of who he is. And then we've, for the last 3 days, done this Isaiah work, a little bit of 49, and then now Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is that fantastic Calvary chapter, and I think it's worth a full examination. So we're probably going to look at every verse in this chapter over the several days to try and really familiarize ourselves with this prophetic idea of the cross. This is a Tuesday when this airs. The Tuesday before this, which would have been the 122nd lesson in our studies in John in our Tuesday group in North Georgia, I did a lesson on It Is Finished, and I want to recommend, so it's about a week old, so I want to recommend you go look for It Is Finished, studies in John number 122, because that deals with the Greek word tetelestai, which is the one Greek word that ends up being three English words, It Is Finished, but they don't hold the weight. It is finished. It doesn't hold the weight that it should when you look at it in the perfect tense, which is what it was in the Greek. So it's something accomplished in the past with results in the present that has permanent effects in the future. And that's what the cross was. I said all that to say this. I make a statement at the beginning of that lesson that really, to me, exemplifies why I'm in this 53rd chapter with you. And the statement was something like this. We have an innate obsession with the cross. It constitutes iconography. It constitutes artwork. It constitutes pictures and jewelry. We use it everywhere. Why this obsession with a little cross that's technically... literally, a Roman form of execution circa a couple of thousand years ago. Well, of course, it's because Jesus died on that cross, but I think it's something far, far deeper than simply our Jesus died on that cross. I think our obsession with the cross comes back to our need to see how the work got finished. If we can see how the work was finished, we might be able to relinquish control of finishing the work in our own life. When we look at an Isaiah 53, we're looking at the cross of Jesus Christ. As we look at the cross of Christ, we might be able to relinquish the need to kill ourselves or the need to do the spiritual work ourselves, to sacrifice something of ourselves. We might realize it's been done on our behalf. We can go from being Judas to being free. And what I mean by Judas is Judas sees what he's done wrong. He throws the 30 pieces of silver in the feet of the high priest in the temple, but then goes out and rather than running to Jesus, which I realize Jesus is technically incarcerated at this point, but rather than going to the foot of the cross to seek the one who's dying on his behalf, Judas goes to hang himself. And that's the end result of not seeing the finished work of the cross will be you will hang yourself on your own work and your own guilt and your own condemnation. When you look at 53, and I want to specifically look at verse 4 today, you can start to realize that staring at the cross is necessary, but staring at it through the right lens is necessary. Here's what I mean. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He's literally borne our sicknesses, carried our pains, and yet we reckoned that he was struck down by God and afflicted. Now, if you take it back to verse 3, which is where we were yesterday, where he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and I told you that those words are better translated. He was a man of pain, acquainted with sickness, and I introduced to you the possibility that this meant Jesus carried these things in his earthly life. I know we kind of struggle with that, and I'm not saying I land there. But if you add verse 4 to that thought and say, what he was really doing was bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. Those words in the Greek are closer to he was carrying our sickness and bearing our pain. So maybe the physical sicknesses and sorrows that were on him in verse 3, the person looking at him dying in verse 4 is going, but what he was really doing was showing me how to live. He was bearing those on my behalf. Or maybe we could say he was showing us how to live in this world with those sicknesses, with those pains. He was being our example in front of us. And as we stare at him, we run the risk of still, even while we're looking at him dying on the cross, we run the risk of still missing the most important element of what he's doing. The latter half of verse 4, we reckoned him or esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, that's struck down by God and afflicted. We looked at him and thought it was God killing him. Now, I've got to sneak into 5 to help with understanding 4. 5 starts with a rebuttal, the conjunction but. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That rebuttal is rebutting verse 4. We thought that he was stricken and struck down by God and afflicted, but he was really just wounded for our transgressions. So when the first glance prophetically as you look at the cross might be, oh, God kills his son. And that's where people, I think, take the my God, why hast thou forsaken me passage. And they look at it like, see, God hates sin so much he won't even look at it when Jesus is bearing it. So he turns his back on Jesus. And he is killed by God at Calvary. I could not disagree more with that. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He's not away from Christ reconciling the world. He's there. He doesn't turn his back on Jesus. And what Christ is facing at Calvary is not God striking him down for something he's done. That's the message Judaism of the first century was preaching. The high priests and the Pharisees were saying, this man has blasphemed God and therefore deserves to die. And they wanted the Romans to be the one who execute him because the Romans would put him on a cross. And every Jew knew that Torah said that if you hang on a tree, you are cursed by God. And so by putting him on a tree, you could say, look, God's not happy with him. And the prophecy of Isaiah 53:4 is that's initially what we thought. We thought, look, God's doing this to him. But what we then realize is that it was us that was doing this to him. Now, we'll concentrate on verse 5 and the elements of verse 5 tomorrow, but just suffice to say today, it is important how you look at the cross, because if you look at the cross as a place of which God punished his son, and you even if you try to clean that up and go, well, God's punishing, actually judging, punishing Jesus so that he doesn't punish me. And I've said that, but I've had a change. I've had a shift. I don't think we should see it as God punishing Jesus. We should see God as punishing evil and sin in Jesus so that it can't be punished in us. And that is a lens that if we stare at the cross through that perspective, I think we'll find peace. We'll go to the 5th verse tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.